Do we lack cyber standards or do we lack cyber enforcement? That is the question for today's MSP Zone.
You are entering the MSP Zone, a podcast for the managed services community, covering news, analysis, and interviews from around the globe. Elevate your MSP game by staying in the MSP Zone. And now, your host, Charles Weaver.
Welcome to the month of October. Do you guys know what month that is? That's right, it's Cybersecurity Awareness Month, at least in the United States. But you know what? We're going to treat that as if it's the entire world because it's never out of fashion to be aware of cybersecurity issues. And this month of October, we are going to be helping to spread the word about cybersecurity, not just about awareness. We actually have four themes that we're going to be bringing to you in subsequent weeks, and each week and is going to focus on a different theme related to cybersecurity. This week, it's going to be awareness. Next week is going to be education, followed by enforcement, and then lastly, protection. So it's going to be a very exciting month as we delve not only into MSP cybersecurity, but we're also going to be talking about cybersecurity implications for not just MSPs, but for customers as well. We're all in this together, after all, and it's not just about what the MSPs are doing, it's about what we all are doing to help be safer. So a short while ago, we did an episode here on MSP Zone about insurance, cybersecurity insurance specifically. Now, for those of you who are saying, well, geez, I hope he's not going to do another insurance expose. Well, not really, but there's a story that I like to bring to your attention, and it does raise the larger issue of whether or not we have a issue of cyber standards, a lack of a cyber standard, or do we have an enforcement or a lack of enforcement of cybersecurity? And it's a really important question because you need both. You need something to enforce, but you have to enforce it, right? You can't enforce nothing. There has to be a framework. There has to be something, a law, a rule, a guideline, a principle. All these things, are necessary to have a useful enforcement policy. And there's an article in Crain's Business Magazine, and I'll post a copy of it in the show notes so all of you can read it. It's a good read. It's a short read, and it's not entirely full of cyber insurance techno jargon. I mean, it's a well-written article. It's easy to understand. But here's the takeaway. And it's dated October 2nd, so a couple days ago. And the title of the article is Insurance Carriers Scrutinize Cybersecurity Controls. So the article starts out by talking about the obvious, and we all know this. The obvious increase in cyber attacks, in ransomware attacks. The article here cites the SolarWinds incident of December 2020. And it gets into some unique details that I think are worth mentioning. So here the article talks about, according to Fitch Ratings, cyber liability incidents have been increasing in severity and frequency for the past few years. Nothing new there. With a 73% loss ratio in 2020. The author says, I expect 2021 will be worse with the amount of catastrophic events that already have occurred, such as the record-setting $40 million extortion paid by CNA. Concerns over potential disruption to food supply chain by JBS, the meatpacking company, and then it mentions Colonial Pipeline. And the author asks a question. What was the cause of the Colonial Pipeline incident? Lack of a multi-factor authentication for an account. So do you remember what I said the last episode? Remember what that was? I was talking about being on site at an MSP last week and mentioned a document that was given to me by that insurance carrier. And the document was what? It was a multi-factor authentication policy requirement. It was an attestation asking the customer, and not even an MSP, by the way. Remember, we talked about that. It's not just MSPs. It's more non-MSPs than MSPs out there. So think about that. But the document was asking the end user organization, a non-MSP, to attest, to state, in other words, that they were, in fact, using multi-factor authentication. Otherwise, the insurance company was not going to underwrite their policy. And lo and behold, this article in Cranes is out this week talking about MFA. Curious how those two things correlate, isn't it? I find it curious. And you can understand now that this, like, I fully expect that one cyber insurance carrier, and it's not like they don't only do cyber, they do a lot of other insurance. You'd know them. They're fairly name brand insurance company. And I suspect, I'd be willing to bet, that there are a lot of other insurance companies out there who do cyber work, who have these types of policies. So they're talking, right? They're getting data from somewhere saying, you know, whether it's just reading a story about the Colonial Pipeline method of attack and how people, you know, how the bad guys got in. I don't know where they're getting the information from, but they're getting it. Because this is not a coincidence. This is I don't believe in coincidences like this. And it goes into the rest of the article, goes into talking about the virtues of multi-factor authentication, which is fine. I like this. I mean, if this week in Cybersecurity Awareness Month is all about awareness, then these articles are really good, right? You should take this article and give it to every single one of your customers. If you're an MSP listening to this, you should take this article and send it to your customers and say, this is why we have you using multi-factor authentication. And for those customers who don't use MFA, you should especially send it to them with a high priority designation and follow up with a phone call saying, this is why you need to use MFA. This is why we're not going to manage your account if you don't use MFA, because it's serious. This is not just a option. This is not a a hypothetical. This is not a value choice. This is a demonstrable fact that if you have MFA turned on, you are much safer and much less likely to get a successful attack on your organization. But it begs the question in this article, talking about premiums for cyber insurance going up on average 60%, specifically due to these claims. And it mentions that cyber liability underwriters are looking for specific baseline controls due to the increasing difficult market before considering offering terms. Terms they're talking about are the underwriting terms for the policy. So the question is, do we have a standards problem, or do we have an enforcement problem? Well, I would like to address that question because I have an opinion. Number one, we don't, in my opinion, have a cyber standards gap. Those of you who remember the Dr. Strangelove movie, you know, a doomsday gap, right? The old Cold War nomenclature. We don't have a cybersecurity standards gap here in the United States, or at least for MSPs, at least for MSPs. We don't have it, and I'll explain shortly. We have a number of cybersecurity-specific and MSP-specific standards that are available globally and in certain countries throughout the world. I'll explain what I mean now. There are good cybersecurity standards that are not MSP-specific, such as we have ISO 27001, 27701, which is the data security, data privacy component of that, which has been around for a certain number of years and is globally available, and is, while it's not MSP specific, and it is not, it doesn't cover everything that an MSP would need, it does a very good job on the security side for a general organization that is that has IT. And so ISO 27001 is a great example of an internationally available standard that any organization, any size organization, can at least look at. I mean, now I'll put it this way. The standard is publicly available. Whether you want to go through the somewhat arcane, in my opinion, a little bit bureaucratic testing and review process that ISO has, then, you know, that's a separate issue. But you at least can take those standards and implement them yourself. Like, you could take someone who has an IT background and say, here are the ISO 27001 controls. Make them happen. Go run with it. Anyone could do that. Anyone in the world can do that. Here in the United States, specifically, so this would be more for the U.S., and actually our friends up north in Canada are actually starting to embrace it, which is, I don't know if I'm surprised by that, but nevertheless, I do hear a lot of Canadian MSPs who are embracing and recognizing NIST. So NIST is a framework that has come out of the United States federal government sector, and is certainly being promulgated throughout the federal agencies, specifically like the Defense Department, and intelligence agencies are starting to really focus in on NIST controls. And there's a group of about 1,600 NIST controls, which are incredibly detailed and borderline useless because there's so many of them. And there's a far more useful, pared down version of NIST 800-171 controls. So there's 171 controls out of that larger, you know, 1,600 controls that make up what's called CMMC. Now, again, if you're outside of North America, you probably wouldn't be familiar with it. It probably wouldn't be something that you are being asked about. But I'm just giving you examples of cybersecurity frameworks not specific to MSPs that are between CMMC and ISO certainly cover the entire planet. Now, you're asking, well, what about MSP standards? Some of you out there, longtime listeners, you know what's coming. Yeah. MSP Verify has been around since 2004. 2004, folks, has a ton of cybersecurity best practices that are specific to MSPs. And just so you understand, if you're an MSP that goes through MSP Verify, you are including in that review controls that map to ISO 27001 and also map to the NIST 171 controls, as well as many other frameworks that exist out there. But it is specific to MSPs. Now, the article doesn't talk about MSPs. The article is just talking about, in general, customers, end-user organizations, anybody, MSP or not, who is looking to obtain cybersecurity coverage. So I would say that we don't have, by any stretch of the imagination, to anybody who is reasonably informed, anything close to a shortage or an absence of a cybersecurity standard today. I would just flatly call that a false statement if anyone said, we don't have a cyber standard. We have multiple cyber standards. We even have an MSP-specific cyber standard in the MSP Verify and the standard that undergirds that framework. This is not an absence of guidance. And I'll go even further, and that's to say that the MSPs that we are talking to now, who are looking at and have gone through or are renewing their MSP Verify, are now even saying, look, we need to get this framework downstream to these customers, because the things that we're being asked in MSP Verify are just as applicable to an end user organization. I get that. I mean, there are some things that are unique to an MSP and would not be relevant to an end user organization. But there should be nobody that says, we're just wandering around in the wilderness. We have no guidance. Nobody's telling us what to do. Like, as if that was an excuse for you not turning on multi-factor authentication. I'm sorry, but it's 2021. You have no excuse for that. If nobody is telling you to turn it on, to quote the old adage, the old legal adage, you know, ignorance is not an excuse of the law. There are multiple standards, and guess what? They all require multi-factor authentication, folks. There isn't even a discrepancy between the standards that do exist, between MSP or non-MSP, on this one topic. And quite frankly, there's a lot of similarities between those, right? They're sharing themes, which is good. We don't want standards that have huge deviation from one another, with potentially the exception of the MSP-specific stuff, which has things that are just unique to what MSPs do because of the nature of their work. But yeah, we do not have a lack of standard. What we do have is lack of enforcement or lack of adoption, pure and simple. Now, if you're asking, do we have a lack of enforcement amongst MSPs? You know, I would say, at least amongst the MSP verified companies, probably not. I mean, I think that they do a very good job. I mean, no MSP is perfect, MSP verified or not. The MSP verified companies can demonstrate that they have done things and they are doing things like MFA, at least internally. But what they can't do is force a company that buys their managed services to turn on and pay for multi-factor authentication if the company is just unwilling to do it. Now, this gets into a question of enforcement and of some politics, some legalities involving what leverage what power does an MSP have to enforce a cybersecurity control or a larger framework for that matter onto its customers? Because an MSP can do a lot within its own organization, right? An MSP can decide we're gonna use, and we do use, multi-factor authentication. And they can tell an employee who says, I don't want to use MFA, then you don't work for us. An MSP can enforce a lot internally. What an MSP can't always do is say to a customer, and I'm talking about managed services customers, right? So project work, you guys doing break fix work, you think you're an MSP, this is not involving you. Although, if you are doing IT work for a company and, you know, you see them not doing MFA, I mean, those are some conversations that I think you should be having. But I'm talking specifically about MSPs and their managed services customers, because the risk exposure, the risk sharing between customer and MSP is there. We know it's there. We've talked about it a lot. You know, when we've had Rob Scott on the program, he talks about that dynamic extensively, and has been for years at MSP World and online, and writing articles and his work with his customers and clients. No, what I'm talking about is, what can the MSP do when a managed services customer says, I don't want to buy your MFA? And on top of that, I'm not using MFA. I don't like it. It gets in the way. It's not as easy to log on. I got to do an extra step. Whatever the excuse is. And the excuse could apply to, I don't want to back up my data. I don't want to encrypt my data. I don't want to have any type of, you know, policies that govern, you know, who has administrator access to our domain or to our accounts, our applications. You know, the list goes on and on and on to things that the managed services customer could say, I don't want to buy that from you, the MSP, and I don't want to do it, and I'm not doing it now. That's an enforcement problem, pure and simple. Now, if you are in the insurance industry and you're listening to this podcast, you have a couple of options. Number one, if you're dealing with an end user customer, a non-MSP organization, let's put it that way, a non-MSP organization who wants to obtain cyber coverage from your company, then one of the very first things I would ask them is, are you using an MSP or not? And if they are a smaller to mid-sized company, the chances are that they have, at best, a skeleton IT crew. I don't mean any disrespect. It just means that you don't have the resources, you don't have the scalable, the people, the bodies in the seats, or the resources to obtain the tools. And dare I say it, just the time in the day with the limited resources, people, and technology to be able to do the things that you need to do. So it's not a slight on you if you're in the audience today. It's not a slight on you at all. We understand how difficult it is to work in the IT industry. But if you are part of that end user organization, that non-MSP organization seeking cyber coverage, one of the first things ought to be, are you using an MSP who can help you get these things done? If you don't have enough time in the day or enough people to go out and implement MFA, encryption, internal backup, data restoration, implement policies, manage policies, monitor policies, on top of just everyday blocking and tackling common IT stuff, the printer won't print, I can't log into my email, all the typical things that just come up that have nothing to do with just the proactive and somewhat defensive sometimes security things that need to be done, patching, etc. The first thing I'd ask is, who is your MSP, and is your MSP helping you with this? And if you're not, I would say an unmanaged, non-MSP organization that has, at best, a skeleton crew, or maybe they don't even have a full-time internal IT department. I hate to say it, but I'm going to say it, and I think that it's the thing that ought to be said and needs to be said now until we fix this problem, but those are probably the more riskiest organizations out there to underwrite for cyber insurance, those that don't have an MSP. And I know you're going to say, well, of course, you're advocating for managed services. Yes, I am, because it makes sense, and there isn't a better solution out there, because the internal organizations by themselves, left on their own, aren't going to fix this by themselves. They don't even know how to fix it. How do I know that? Because I just left an MSP organization last week where they were recounting to me how many end user organizations, and these were not small organizations either. These were larger, you know, mid-sized non-MSP customers of theirs who were coming to that MSP for help and guidance because they didn't know how to answer these questions. It's a big problem, but it's an enforcement problem. And it's an enforcement problem that can get better. And one of the best ways to do it, if you are not one of the very, very unique and special organizations that has plenty of money, plenty of internal IT staff, plenty of access to tools, and best of all, those people are trained now and are currently undergoing constant training to stay on top of things, there's not a lot of those organizations out there. I'll tell you that right now. Besides those organizations, the best answer for them to be have even a baseline of cybersecurity preparedness is use an MSP. And allow that MSP to generate that awareness, to generate that ability to focus in on specific controls, specific policies, specific procedures that can make that organization much safer. And I'm talking not just months, I'm talking like days, weeks at best. I mean, these are things that are very easy to implement depending on which solutions, you know, which platforms you're on. Very, very quick and effective and not that expensive at all. I mean, most of the stuff is relatively cheap per user. My gosh, and if you're talking about the potential exposure both to increased cyber insurance premiums, but you want to end up like Colonial? Shut down with no revenue coming in? Or worse yet, paying multi-million dollar payouts to cyber ransomware gangs? And that wasn't in their budget, I guarantee you that. And I'll wager this. I don't think any of us out here have a budget line item for paying ransomware. I hope not. But I guarantee you the cost of implementing these simple, straightforward cybersecurity standards, controls, the policies, the procedures, is a drop in the bucket from an expense standpoint compared to paying out a ransomware claim, or worse yet, having your business shut down and having loss of reputation, people don't trust you anymore, or the absolute worst in Colonial Pipeline's situation where they're actually not bringing in money because they can't do what they need to do because their IT is shut off. So no, we don't have a cybersecurity standard problem. We've got really good standards for MSPs and end users alike. What we have and what we need to do, what my call to action is for all of you out there is to start doing something on the enforcement side. And I can't think of a better time than Cybersecurity Awareness Month to start having this conversation. If you want to bring it up in the context of obtaining or renewing cyber insurance, perfect. Use this article. Use it to your advantage. It's a good article. But if we can solve the enforcement issue, this is going to get a lot better very fast. Yeah, you heard it. Very fast. Like, we could eradicate ransomware. I might say eradicate, you know, maybe not 100%, but we can dramatically reduce and frustrate the ransomware business model to the point where they give up or they at least seek another avenue for their revenue. If we just stick to the enforcement, we already have the standards. ISO, NIST, CMMC, good old MSP Verify if you happen to be an MSP. Those standards exist, some of them for a very long time. Use them, implement them, and start enforcing them. Until next time.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed today's episode, please give us a like. Make sure you're subscribed to the podcast so you'll get notified when future episodes are released. We will see you next time in the MSP Zone.